All right, thank you, Pastor Dennis. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, family. Welcome, fam. So I'm really nervous. Really nervous, guys. But I love how I feel at home right now because I noticed that the bulletin has a wrong date. It says November 11th. And for the young adults before, you know, with El Calvario, we always had the bulletins wrong. When I give announcements, I would always, for some reason, like, give the wrong day, right? It's like, I'll see you guys in February, but I really meant, like, January, I mean, like, March, or I'm seeing it wrong right now. See, I'm just bad with dates. So it feels kind of like at home, I brought my backpack and my stuff right here, because that's what I did back before. I just had a little chair. I pulled that chair right here. Really nervous that today I asked my mom to choose my outfit. All right, guys? I asked her, like, I want to be casual, also want to be presentable. All right, like, I'm here to party, but I'm also here to study. That's why the shirt's not ironed, it's a little bit wrinkled. I pulled it out, like, last minute. I was wearing a thermal. My mom's like, a thermal? She's like, that's what, like, she said, that's what homeless people wear. I'm like, oh, come on, mom. I thought that was trending right now, right? A lot of hipsters wear kind of, you know, ripped jeans and thermals and all that. But yeah, so I'm a little bit nervous, guys, really nervous, to be honest. I haven't been able to sleep for the past 2 weeks ever since Pastor John and I were talking about this message. And that's good. I like that I haven't been able to sleep, because that really has just humbled me. I've been seeking guidance, reflecting a lot of prayer. And I asked my dad, well, my dad, if you guys don't know, is Willy, right? Wilfredo, or Sugar Daddy, if some of you guys know him. His last name's Azúcar. He's not really giving money away to people. He's very codo, which means, codo means elbow, which means cheap. My mom is Martha, and, you know, they're great people, great people. My dad told me, you know, when I come up here, not to bring my background, not to bring my history, not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. To be honest, guys, I really want you guys to see my heart. I don't want you guys to see me. I don't want you to see. I feel judged. I really feel judged, and I think that's myself. I think I'm judging myself from what I think your judgments are, if you guys, that makes sense. And so what I want to start off, just kind of break the ice on what we've done before in our churches. And I know Pastor John said this last week that, you know, we're not kind of a church that says praise God out loud, right? Not really, unless my dad is here, right? But someone else who does it is Danny. I know Danny, when I heard you say amen right now, but it was very low, dude. Say it louder, please. It's just, you know, I think we got to create new culture, right? Honored culture, honor, what I mean culture, right, is just the culture of this church. And, you know, now we're creating a new movement. A new movement that I'm so proud of, very proud of this movement that we created. And we just gotta create new culture, right? I feel like right now what we're doing is just, if you guys know the four stages of, you know, of group, it's what is it? The first one is forming, storming, norming, then performing. Have you guys heard about that, right? That's a psychological theory about how to form groups. I actually got that from Johnny. You guys remember Johnny Dominguez? One time, Johnny Dominguez, we were in a leadership meeting, and he came with, like, a heavy burden. He's like, we're not a performing church. And he was really concerned about our group. He wanted us to be open and honest. I love Johnny. I hope you guys can meet him one day. He brought out these group stages. And I just want the church, young adults, to realize that the first part was a forming stage, right, where we got together. I met Pastor John. He's a great guy. Love Pastor John. I want to talk about Pastor John, but I feel like I was just going on a tangent. So that's the forming stage, right? We're here together. We're sitting here together. The next stage of groups is storming. That's when you get frustrated. Like, when you have a desire for what you want to expect in the church, and you're not seeing it. And that's supposed to happen. This theory, with all the research done, storming is a natural part of group formation, okay? And I know that's not, I can't find the passage on there, but we believe, right, that all truth is God's truth. General revelation is also God's truth, what we see in science, what we see in psychology, right? And that's not the ultimate truth. That's not the highest authority. Obviously, the Bible is. But I just want to point that we're in the norming, in the storming phase right now. I can see it. I can see that people are getting a little bit impatient. I can see, like, we want to do this, we want to do that. So as I talk about that, I want to do one thing first. I want to talk about things that we're grateful for. Maybe one or two testimonies. I know we've done it before. I know what Danny, right? What's something good that we're grateful for? This is something we do in our Spanish ministry, but something you're thankful for. If not, what's prayer, a prayer request that you guys have in this church? Nobody says anything. Fine, we'll be quiet for a few seconds or moments. But that's part of the new culture I hope that we could create, right? That we could create a culture of vulnerability, a culture of praise and life-giving in the church, right? So any testimonies, any prayer requests, Taylor? Thank you, Taylor. When you see that, I know what you're saying. You're without a car right now, right? Taylor lives in Corona with her parents, and she comes all the way from Corona right here, right? And she wants to be a young, independent, self-driving person, but right now her mom's driving her here like she was in high school. But she still has faith in us. She's struggling with some things, so thank you, Taylor, for sharing that. Any other praises or acts of thanksgiving? Roman, you want to do this, please?
I remember at the old church, I had a prayer request of my family. They have a small family business, and we were kind of fighting a lot, just always arguing. And now we're starting to come together. We're starting to appreciate each other more. And I feel like there's more love in the house and the business. And I'm thankful that God blessed my entire family with the opportunity for us to all work as a family and stay together as a family.
Thank you, Norman. Thank you. You could go ahead and clap to that, guys. I know it's the culture one. Thank you, Norman. You know, I remember that prayer request that you shared. We've been praying for your family. You know, something I wouldn't have known if you didn't share right now. And so I praise God that, you know, we could work together as a family. Anybody else want to share, be thankful for something in their lives? Over here. Jackie, I don't know if you could pass it down there, please. For people who are online.
I'm so thankful that this church has a heart for Jesus.
And amen.
It's not exclusive. Isn't an English-speaking church and a Spanish-speaking church. It's a church together. That's what the church is. It's people who love each other and are called according to his purposes. And I've been in churches before that have had the Anglo church was one thing, Hispanic church was another. Mm-hmm. Never the twain should meet.
I mean,
it was just, we never did anything together. And I love this. It just makes my heart so warm that we can minister together. You can speak Greek if you like. It doesn't make any difference. We love each other, and that's the important thing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. To be honest, I don't know, you know, what people are thinking, and we tend to think of the worst, and that, to be honest, that's really life-giving. I'm being honest, like, I get a lot of negative thoughts, you know, about what's going on sometimes in the church, right? And to hear that just affirms, you know, the goodness of this church. And I'm pretty sure some of the people here as integration needed to hear that as well. Dominic, I know you wanted to say something. John, if you could pass it back to Dominic, please.
Well, piggybacking on what Linda had said, I am so thankful and grateful that the churches have come together. You know, I've was able to go to youth group with the youth, and you guys are amazing. It was just really neat to see them. Had supper with Calvario's leaders, and just the power of the Holy Spirit working together in this area. I mean, like, just our part and right. their part, like, together, it's just amazing. And I'm so excited to see what 2019 has in store for us. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Dominique. I know not everyone sees the meetings that we have behind closed doors, the meetings that I have with Pastor John, weekly, elder meetings. They're just powerful, they're genuine, and they're real. And thank you for sharing that for those who haven't been able to participate in that. Anybody else want to share? If not, a prayer request over here, John, if you could pass it over there. Right. That, I don't know if you read my sermon notes, but yeah, that's that. I feel like that's a tension that I feel, right? It's about not wanting to conform, but wanting to transform, right? And there's a difference from conforming and transforming. Conforming is behaviors. Transforming is this inner gracious place of not worrying about the transformation, right? And I hear you. I feel you. And thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Now I'm glad that I selected that, and that was hopefully Spirit-led. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else? If not, I hope, I know a lot of you guys are probably doubters sitting there, because that's my main thing, a doubter. Can you go ahead and go to the next slide, please? So right now, I don't want to focus so much on young people, right? But this relates to everybody. I'm just calling attention to this particular group, all right? Mosaics, ages 18 to 29. What I did about 2 weeks ago, I just, Pastor John told me just to preach what's on my heart. And to be honest, I was praying for a few days and nothing came out. Nothing came out. And to be honest, I felt like God was, like he left me. Like he left me, to be honest, I felt like he left me. And Danny knows what I'm talking about, right? When you're trying to preach and you feel like God leaves you. And you want to preach a certain message, and you know it's not God's message when he leaves you. When you're up here and nobody feels anything, truth is being said, and that's how I found my prayer. And so what I did, I just started repenting. I created a list, and I remember that from what Pastor John gave in a message, when just creating a list of just some sins and some problems, some things in the church, just some elephants in the room. And I created a list, and then I noticed what I had in common was, let me see the list right here. I'm going to call out some of the El Calvario young adults here. Some of us aren't tithing. I got to be honest. Young adults, you guys make some money. Where's it going? I'm being honest. Like, what's going on? I don't even have to preach, to be honest, because you guys already know. All right. Tithing, guys. You got to tithe. You know, like Pastor Luis says, where you're not like Pastor Luis, I guess like the Bible says, right? Your heart's where your treasure's at, right? Young people are leaving the church. Young people are leaving the church. Not just for El Calvario, right? Calvary Baptist, young people are leaving the church. Not even young people. People are leaving the church, period. And it's a common culture that we share. Something that I've realized, too, that we could have people in our lives but still feel lonely. And I've realized from reflection And I had therapy this past semester, guys. I'm not going to go into much detail, but I received therapy this past semester and was a Christian therapist. And my therapist kind of revealed to me that that the devil was working to isolate me. The devil was truly working to isolate me in the past few years. Like, I have so many talents, so many gifts, and so many things, and the devil just isolated me. And it may look like individualism. It may be wrapped up as, I want to pursue me. But the spiritual consequence of it was the devil working to isolate us. This is my expectation. This is what I want. But the devil isolates us. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us probably feel that way, when you can have people around you but still feel lonely. And that's the devil just trying to seriously spiritually isolate you from the power and the community and the grace of God. Some people, El Calvario, you don't feel like you have a role in the church, right? We aren't serving as much. I see that. Opportunities, there's roles. Believe me, Pastor John's open for people to serve. Please, please, guys, step forward. And this also goes out to the parents working with the youth. Please talk to John. If you guys need to know John, John is open. If you guys want to talk to Aaron, he's open as well, right? They really want to work with everyone here. I noticed some things about, you know, Calvary, you know, that maybe, right now I'm just trying to speak freely, all right? So don't stone me afterwards, all right? Worship isn't as dynamic. All right, when I say that, I don't know what that means, but let's just let that ring, okay, guys? It's a little bit different, right? If you saw Pastor Luis and my dad, it's different. I'm not saying it's bad, it's different, right? It's different. But I noticed that that's made Danny quieter than he is, right? And the goal is for us to worship. That's really the end goal, right? What they notice about Calvary, I felt like a spiritual, and hopefully I'm not being too charismatic, a spiritual stronghold of fear. For some reason, that word came out to me. It's fear. I'm not very charismatic, guys. All right, I want you to know that. I'm Baptist, right? And so that's why we don't speak in tongues. But I felt a stronghold of fear, to be honest. I don't know what this is, but I just feel like fear of, you know, that's basically of letting things go. And also feel like that's also with the young adults. My therapist also told me that, his name is Paul, all right? I love Paul. And Paul is not the ultimate authority, I know, guys, but he helped me. To be honest, guys, the past few years, I felt like I've been wandering, guys. And if you notice, the Israelites, right, they were wandering for a while because they didn't let things go. We could be wandering for a while, and we're expecting to get to a certain place in the church, in sanctification, but because we haven't let things go, our sins of idols, we're not going to get there. So this last thing that I saw in common, guys, was this sense of what we both share, I feel like, with the churches is of we've lost people. We lost people. About 59% of the church in Mosaics have left, right? Reason why is because some of them feel like the church is overprotective, right? You can't listen to Tupac. You can't watch rated R films. The church is shallow, meaning that they don't really feel God. They don't see God. And that's the end goal, right? To see God, to see beauty. I don't have to make you decide if this is beautiful or not, like John Piper says, right? You have to see it. A lot of you have been coming to church and haven't learned the language of God is beautiful. We have sit here and we criticize. We sit here and we analyze. You're supposed to sit there and see beauty. See God. See people talking about grace and what's going on. This is why people are leaving, right? We talk about things and they don't see beauty. Science and doubts. Last time I came up here, guys, I shared some of my doubts. And then afterwards, some of you guys comforted me, right? And you guys came up to me like, oh, Daniel has some doubts. Like, he has some problems. And to be honest, guys, that's why the church lost me when I was a sophomore in high school. I felt like I couldn't have doubts. And if I did have doubts, something's wrong with me. And I know you guys mean good, and I appreciate people coming up to me, but I had doubts when I was a sophomore, and even more, I mean, continuing, massive doubts, but they have opened me up. I have a book right here. Thank God for it. It's a great pastor that just talked about how doubts just opened them to just faith. I have books right here that I want to give out, and I'll just give them out right now. Right now, guys. One, Doubts. I got these right now, guys. You're like, how does this fit? We'll see how it fits. A book on doubts. A book on the LGBTQ community. If any struggle there or trying to discuss that. Politics about freedom. Don't worry, guys, it's all conservatives. Some of you guys are like, what kind of books are these liberal progressive ones? All right, IVP Press. And so they're kind of like middle conservative, moderate conservatives. If not, talk to Pastor John and ask him if he could read it. I have one here about the Spirit and how to be in the Spirit and sanctification and evangelism. I'm going to give these out, but if I give them out, please, you have to give it to somebody else after you read it. You have to give it to your disciple. And if you don't have somebody to give it to, that should reveal something, right? Who are you discipling? And to be honest, I believe the power of just even doing that, it will create disciples. Anybody here, any brave enough to just take a book right now? Don't leave me hanging. All right. You come up here, I'm going to put you on blast. I'll leave the books right there, but what saved me when I was a sophomore when I was doubting and the church lost me, the church really lost me. What happened was my church left and we went to another church, and I was sitting in pews like this as a sophomore in high school. And which was great. I think the pastor had great messages, but I didn't have community, right? I know of the middle schoolers, you guys could sit here. The high schoolers, you guys could sit here. Young adults could sit here. On Sundays, the Sona have community. That's where we have growth groups, right? That's where we have other ministries, but I wasn't going out to them. And what saved me, guys, to be honest, was hip-hop and books. All right, hip-hop and books, all right? It was Tupac. I'm sorry, guys, it was Tupac, all right? Little Tupac, I gotta be serious. Tupac, he's very spiritual. Gotta be honest, guys. Don't be fooled my boots right now. I used to dress like a thug. Sorry about that. It was an ugly phase, guys. An ugly phase. It was. Who said that? Awkward stage, very awkward. But I feel like I couldn't discuss some of the concerns that were on here. And what happened was I read a few books that really, really centered my faith. So I believe in what this could do. And also believe in what even music could do. Sadly, the world is becoming more secular, right? And I mean, that's one of the points that will come up. I remember, guys, when I was a sophomore, I barely told my parents this year, I barely told my parents, and I don't know how they took it. It kind of made me sad when I told them. I told them that my sophomore year, I was depressed, and they're like, what, you're depressed? And they didn't know that. They did not know that I was depressed my sophomore year in high school. All right, I'm not going to cry. All right. remember that year? I was like a mute. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was silent. And I'm like, look at me now. I'm up here preaching. I did not think as a sophomore I was going to be talking to anybody like this. The passage stuck out to me at that time. I came to a church called The Outsiders. Came back to it because I left it. Luke 15 was a passage. The lost sheep. Get this, guys, about this passage, right? We heard it, as we should probably know it, that Jesus, a good shepherd, seeks one lost sheep, right? Leaves the 99 behind. He loves the 99, right? He cares for them, but the one lost sheep is in danger. What killed Jesus was a story. It was what happened before the parable. If you notice the parable, he's speaking to the Pharisees, right? And he's talking to them because he's hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. It's weird that it's sinners and then tax collectors. I don't know why they separated like that, right? But basically, they were the outcasts. Those are the ones that didn't fit in the church, that we lost. Those are the ones. Jesus got killed, not for the healings. I want you to understand that. Why would you kill somebody who would heal people? You want that person, right? Jesus didn't get killed for healing people, saving people. He got killed because of the place, the scandalous grace he had. Very scandalous. He entered spaces that were scandalous. He cared a lot more about these lost sheep. And I heard that message when I was 15. I couldn't believe that. And I started to ask questions to church. The church allowed me to ask questions. I asked them, the pastor and the teacher at the time. I don't know how they took care of me because I had some hard questions. But I want to highlight, man, the Pharisees in this story were disgusted. We're disgusted about that. Well, I know Pastor John probably agree. It's what we would desire. And a lot of people come up to us. A lot of people come up to us as the pastor leaders. And they come up with their list of concerns, right? Like the Pharisees, what's going on, right? Do you not see beauty? What I pray for, and it probably will not happen in this lifetime, right, is for people to come up to me and talk to me more about the beauty of Christ. But it's more about what's wrong with the church. Like the Pharisees, they're disgusted. And the Pharisees knew it all. Understand that. They know how to... You know, talk about the church and the problems. They had intellectual assent, and that's one of the slides we had up there. I read some commentaries from Pastor John, so I know this is true, guys, what I'm about to say, right? The whole passage right here, it's all about joy. You notice that the good shepherd goes to the sheep, picks up the sheep, and is filled with joy. Filled with joy. Pharisees miss that. They don't see joy of somebody seeking the lost sheep, right? They're blinded. If you continue to read Luke 15, you have the brother, right? The prodigal son, hopefully you're familiar with that, right? the son comes back to the older son comes back, forgetting which one now, this is horrible. But the prodigal son comes back, right? And the other brother is upset because a party's thrown for him, right? And then he says, he's asked, like, what do you want? He's like, I want, a calf. It's like, really? Like, you want a calf? There's a party out there, and all you want is a calf. There's people dancing, there's people celebrating, there's joy, and this is what you want? That's what happens to Pharisees, people. That you become so blinded that you ask for something more smaller than the whole celebration. What that brother should have asked for is, I want a celebration like that. I want that joy. But he asked for was a calf. It's like going to a party and I just want the piñata, right? No, you want the celebration. You want the family. You want the recognition. You want the joy that comes with it. But as long as you're living in these rigid mindset, you're not going to see the celebration, the joy of the lost sheep. Like that brother, we're just going to want that calf, right? I'm going to close with this, guys. Next slide. This is it. There's stuff that I didn't talk about, but I need to talk about this as a church. So there's these three groups from Kinnaman that he says in the church. There's nomads, prodigals, and exiles. Nomads are the people that believe in God, yet walks away from the church. You know the people that are not part of the church faith community, but they're believers, but they're out there. They're nomads. And then there's prodigals that have just lost their faith entirely. Lost their faith entirely. Those are the prodigals. Then we have the exiles, which I think there's a lot of exiles in here. Those are the ones that are stuck in the middle. They're in the church and in the secular world. They're in but not of the world. They're the ones kind of like, I don't feel growth. As the hermano, the sister over here shared, right? They're the ones that are actually conforming. They're not truly transforming by the renewing of the mind. And what the passage says in Hebrew, right? The mind in Hebrew is heart. The concept of mind in Hebrew is both mind and heart. And it's just renewing, not just the mind, guys, but it's a renewing of the heart. Is when you see the lost sheep, when you hear their story, what's happening to you? Are you moved at all? Are you seeing beauty? And if you're seeing beauty, that's a renewing. If you're sitting there, you might be like, okay, you have these files in your head of what the Bible looks like, and you could teach it to people, and that's intellectual assent. But that's not what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to see beauty. So what I want to do right now, guys, and how we see beauty is that we see it gospel in life. So I want to close with this, guys. I know we have communion. Just in 5 minutes, guys, I'm just going to give you 5 minutes. I want you to turn to your neighbors. And I want you to either somebody who you've lost, and I want you to identify them. Are they a nomad? Are they a prodigal? Are they an exile? Or is it you? Please, please, truly share. Please, truly share. So I'll give you 5 minutes. Discuss, is it somebody in your family, is a friend that we have lost? That person, a nomad, a prodigal, share a little bit about their story? Or is it you that are in exile? Okay? So I'll give you 5 minutes just to share with people around you. All right, if you could please wrap it up. I know we have to do communion afterwards. I know, right? It's just a start, guys. Hopefully we can continue, and I know that this is not going to end today. I know that for a fact, because this is something that's on our hearts for sure. But I do want to quickly just read some slides. If you could move forward, and I just will close. There's some slides, guys. Not that one go next, please. Not that one. We know that Gen Z love technology. Hold on, let me see this one. Gen Z, so it's people born 1999 and above, all right? But I feel like that applies to millennials too, all right? Whatever happens in the cultures before carries on. think I want to focus on the second point. I just want to provide some insight. According to a study, Gen Z admire their parents. I did not believe that. But at the same time, they don't feel family relationships are central to their sense of self. They love their parents, but still long for good role models. Unfortunately, this generation is suffering from the consequences of many broken families and distant parents who lack the time, resources, or energy to raise them. Next slide, please. Gen Zs actually have the same desires as generations before. They want to pursue success. Who doesn't, right? Next slide. Please. So what's happening, guys, nominal Christian is disappearing, which is a good thing. We're not having any more of these lukewarm Christians. We're having, it's now black and white. We have people who are radical and are not, in a way. Okay, guys? So those who feel like they're lukewarm, let me tell you, it's because you haven't woken up to be radical yet. All right, let me tell you that. God has called you, and he'll finish the work, complete the work that he has called in you, like it says in Philippians, right? All I want to say from this one right here, guys, let's be radical. Please, let's be radical. I am guilty because sometimes I don't want to turn people away. I feel like, oh, if I see too much Jesus, I'm going to turn some of the young people away. But to be honest, now people want black and white things. It's either Jesus or not. So let's be straightforward. I feel like we've been sugarcoating it, the culture too much. Like, you can watch rated R movies because I want you to be cool, but at the same time, like, I'm not going to say Jesus because I don't want you to, you know, think that I'm an extreme radical. Please say Jesus. Be radical. We're longing for it in this spiritual context of our church. Next slide. I think there's just one more I want to point out. Just one more. Oh, no. What happened to it? No. Go back. Go back. No way. Go back. No way. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Oh, this is horrible. See you next week. No. All right. Wow. Oh, okay. Well, this slide is just particular. It was going to give us stats. Particular to Latinos. I was surprised, guys. I was surprised. So it's a short study. I got this study from a Talbot magazine. I'm going to Talbot right now, guys. And it revealed. And I was surprised, guys. So I want you to think that I'm twisting it. It said that Latinos are the fastest growing group. Right? And they're... because of their values and loyalty, like loyalty to a church and family, that's why the church is growing. And I was like, what? I thought it was going to be Asians. All right, I thought it was going to be Asians or something like that. But it said Latinos. And that kind of makes sense of why our church, for some reason, the loyalty and commitment. Understand that, please don't be swayed. And I know for those who are not Latinos, everyone who grew up in Southern California, to be honest, is a little bit Latino. Even Pastor John, he's from Minnesota, right? But he's been here long enough where he's Latino. If you've been living here, I know you've been influenced by it. So it's 12 o'clock. There's no time for communion. I know there is always time for communion. but I just want to say this. Please, let's continue to... discipling, concerned with the lost, talking about beauty, talking about joy, right? We don't want happiness, we want joy. Happiness is only momentary, right? Joy is that peace that even when you feel doubts, that you can still have faith, that you can still live in grace, happiness disappears. So please, let's talk about this passage and talk about God's glory in this passage. My concern is, guys, that... I have concern that we're going to lose people. That's going to happen, right? Inevitably, people are going to be lost. So for family and friends, don't think that you've messed up if people have left the church. Don't think you've messed up. People, sheep, stray away. I know you've heard from messages that they're dumb. I don't want to say that. Or I don't want to say that sheep are dumb, that people have left are dumb. That's not the point. It's just that, you know, they haven't seen the grace and the glory of God. And to be honest, once you see the grace and glory of God, you can't turn away. So please, I want you to be at ease, understanding that God cares more and pursues harder than you are. You're like, Mimi, let me set up this event, this youth event, and hopefully I could get so-and-so. It's not about that. It's about the grace of God that we'll touch and the grace that will be revealed soon. And I completely believe that. It's truth. So with that said, guys, what do you want to do, Pastor John? All right.
Appreciate it. And we've got